Christopher Robin was not to be disturbed. "I'm going to be St. George in the village play," he explained to Pooh, as they kicked through the autumn leaves. "I have to fight a fire-breathing dragon who has been eating damsels." He showed Pooh his St. George wooden sword. "And I've got a helmet somewhere. But, you see, the thing is, I've got lots to say, so I have to learn my words. That's what actors do, and they must not be disturbed." Pooh thought about this, then asked, "This dragon, does it live anywhere near the 100-acre wood? Because, if it does, you might let it know that this is not the best place for finding what you said." Then Pooh had another thought, even more alarming. "And can you tell it that there's no spare honey around here either? Not even 5 fresh pots sitting in anyone's cupboard."
"Oh, bear," said Christopher Robin. "Dragons are mythical creatures. Or are they extinct?
It's one or the other, so there's nothing to worry about.
And they don't eat honey. Now I must go. Please tell everybody, do not disturb."
Then Christopher Robin ran back to the house, making dragon-threatening thrusts and slashes at the undergrowth, while Pooh wondered whether he preferred his dragons mythical or extinct, and quite what the difference might be. Pooh told Rabbit, and Rabbit told Owl, and Owl told Kanga, and Kanga told Tigger, and Tigger told Roo, who jumped up and down, squeaking,
"Look at me! I'm a dragon!"
Then Tigger told everyone he bumped into, including Piglet and Eeyore, so that very soon all the forest knew about St. George and the fire-breathing dragon, and that Christopher Robin was not to be disturbed. Eeyore did not normally venture far from his gloomy place, but now that summer was over, it was gloomier than ever, and friends were not dropping by like they used to.
"Not that like they used to was ever what you'd call often," muttered Eeyore.
Of course, Christopher Robin used to pass by every now and then.
"Well, more then than now," thought Eeyore,
because now Christopher Robin was not to be disturbed.
"And no one has not disturbed him more than me these last few days."
Then Eeyore had an idea.
"I shall go for a walk," he announced to himself. "A stroll, a ramble. And maybe I shall meet somebody. Or maybe, when I return, somebody will have dropped by. Or maybe..."
He let out a sigh.
"Not."
But Eeyore had walked no more than a dozen plods when he saw it. A something. A something half hidden under a bush. A something that glinted in an interesting sort of way.
"Whatever that is," thought Eeyore, "I, Eeyore, have found it."
But try as he might, with hooves and head and teeth, he couldn't persuade it to come free.
"What is needed," he decided at last, "is assistance. Assistance in the digging of it out, and then assistance in the knowing of what it is."
He thought maybe Rabbit could help.
"Because Rabbit can burrow, and Rabbit has brain."
But then Rabbit might take charge, and maybe even claim the credit for finding the something interesting himself.
"Perhaps Owl," he thought.
But Owl did confuse him with very long words. Eeyore ummed, and then he ahed. He went this way, and then he went that way. And at last he decided that the only thing to do was to stand and guard the something interesting until somebody came along. So he stood and guarded and waited as the wind blew and the leaves swirled and the sun sank ever lower in the sky.